section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hello, my name is George Takei. Before we get started, we would like to remind everyone that this show is for entertainment purposes only. Three quarters of this crap is total BS anyway. The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and should not be associated in any way with our guests and sponsors. If you are easily offended, we recommend you press stop right now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm. And who doesn't enjoy a good auditory orgasm? Oh my. Welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio dial, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
Follow that, bitch.
Can't keep about the world, about these times and the end of day. It's bruised and torn and bloody, but never quite gave up hope. If I still believe in
to the Dirty Stalls If It Burns When I Pee, and our special guest this evening is the one and only Sean K. Preston. Sean, welcome to the show, man.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody listening. This is Chiller.
It's been a long time coming. I think we've talked about it for like 2 years now. And
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah. Well, I guess this will be the first time I'm on the show, like, talking, right?
Yeah.
Chiller, so, yes. That's awesome.
So you're getting ready to release your new album, The Cult of Old Regret. How did you come up with the name of the album?
It's Cult, The Cult from Old Regret, technically speaking. I thought about naming it actually The Cult of Old Regret, but it comes from a writer, an Australian author named A.B. Patterson, or Banjo Patterson as he was known. And he wrote a lot of poetry and prose about life in the outback. And it's just a great title. You know, I love the horse, the feel of the horse imagery. And, you know, it has kind of a negative emotional kind of sting to it. But actually, it's the name of a horse in one of his long poems, The Man from Snowy River.
All right.
So anyway, I'll just leave it at that. Like, maybe some curious people will read The Man from Snowy River now.
Right, definitely. We'll put up a link to the author. Maybe they can get some good reading in.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, he's long dead, I'm sure, but, like, you know, this is, like, old school, you know?
Sure.
Kind of, like, almost English, Australian. But anyway, I digress. Further and further.
So, the song, we played Satan, which is kind of like a staple, I think, when you think of Sean K. Preston. And then we also played a song that's on the new album called Still Believe. You know, what kind of got you to write that Still Believe song?
Oh, the circumstances there, I guess, it's the inspiration for it was, you know, I don't know. I don't really like talking about that particular one necessarily, but I mean, it's just, it ended up being something from personal experience, but it moved well beyond that quickly. You know,
sure.
It's not even about me. The song's not, you know what I mean?
Right. So, the album has a real kind of 50s rock, classic country with a splash of blues, and do you have a wide range of musical tastes, and do you think it's important for musicians to have a wide range?
Oh, man, my favorite artists would be like that, you know, the ones that will surprise you on a record, and, you know, you've got to listen to the whole record to understand what they're doing. As opposed to, like, bands you hear, I think it's more of a band thing, as opposed to, like, solo artists or principal songwriters, where, you know, it's like the Stones or the Ramones or stuff like that. You put on a record and it's like, yeah, man, that's Ramones too. But, you know, you might listen to, like, a Tom Waits or something like that, or Serge Gainsbourg or something, and like, Jesus, every song is like a different thing, you know?
Right.
I love listening to those kind of records.
So, excuse me, the first time I met you was at Christie Fest last year, and you know, you and BJ and Coley have known each other for a while. How did you guys first get together and start talking and meeting?
What's kind of funny, I think, actually, I heard of It Burns When I Pee first, just through looking at things on the internet or whatever. I stumbled into kind of figuring out who BJ was. And I don't know if we had actually communicated with one another, but one night him and Nicole came up to see me in Pennsylvania, and I think I did the show solo that night. And we all had a great time, and like, you know, when meeting him was just really killer because he's so disarmingly nice
right.
when you meet him in person, you know?
Right. So what made you decide to play Christie Fest?
Well, Peach asked me to, and, you know, I'm not too far away. You know, Baltimore is not far away from Pennsylvania where we had the show and everything. So it was, he asked me, and I was delighted to.
And the cops tried to shut us down in the middle of your set, but we said, no way.
That was great. The best part of that, in case, you know, the magic of Christie Fest, just for, like, the listening audience that may not have been able to be there, the high point of that was the cop locking the keys in his car.
Right.
So that was pretty kick-ass. Actually, Robert Fireball Mitchell is riding in the van next to me right now. So there's Robert. Hang on.
Hey, what's up, Blake? How you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
This is Robert Fireball Mitchell saying hello. Anyways, we're on our way down to play with Husky tonight and Husky Burnett in D.C.
Cool. So you're really known for your live performance and the energy from your live performance. Did you try to capture that intensity on the album, or, you know, how did you try to translate the two?
Wow. Honestly, I don't think I did have much of an overlap from what the live show is to the record. This record is really kind of like a lot of the recordings and stuff like that are from a time when I was playing as a two piece with a drummer here in the D.C. area, Jason Mullinax. And we were two-piece, so he brought the drums in, and I did the guitar and stuff and the singing. Johnny Lawless, who at the time was playing with J.B. Beverly and the Wayward Drifters, did the upright bass. And then I had, you know, a steel player come in, and I did a lot of guitar stuff. I did shakers and, you know, hand claps and all kinds of crazy stuff. So it's a studio album, you know?
Sure.
But the songs translate excellently live, but the live show now is like, I have an upright bass player, a mayhem, and a drummer, and the show is much more electrified. It's starting to kind of like sprout into like this blues monster, sure. ZZ Top kind of country thing.
Awesome. So many folks probably don't know, but you were born in Australia. How did you go from Australia to Baltimore, Maryland?
I was born in Australia. My pops is from the States, and I was born, you know, my mom is from Japan, and they met, you know, back in the day and ended up living in Australia, and I was born there, and we lived there for a while and then moved back to the States. So that's how I ended up, you know, there was ties to the States, you know, before I was even born, so.
Right. How old were you when you left Australia?
Long story short, about 18.
Okay. So you spent quite a bit of time in Australia before coming over to the States.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm about even now, you know, because I've been living in the States for a long time now, too, so.
What was your favorite part of living in Australia that you don't experience here?
It's kind of funny. It's nice having, like, it's kind of a weird thing, just having a home. A feeling of home far away, and I think that kind of plays into the style of music and everything too, but it's really nice when I go to places in the States that remind me of Australia, because I feel really, you know, I feel really happy and kind of, you know, it just sets me at ease or something, you know?
Sure. One of the songs that we're going to play after the interview is 7 AM Hell. Can you kind of tell us what your inspiration was in writing that?
Man, yeah, that was that started in like God bless it. I think I must have started writing the song in like 2000 and, 2002 or three. I was living in San Diego, in downtown San Diego, and every morning around 7 o'clock, these fire engines would just come rolling through downtown, blaring away almost every morning. I'm like, there's always something on fire out there, you know? And I'm like, what the hell? It was like, it was terrible. You know, it's 7 a.m. No matter what day of the week it is, if I'm working or not or whatever, it's like, and I had a shitty little apartment in a gas lamp quarter. And so it started as just this thing, 7 a.m. hell. And I started, when I lived in San Diego, I lived in a hotel for a while, like what do they call it, residential hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $100 a week, coffee and nicotine stained brown, like dingy place where the lady behind the counter is like 380 pounds and she chain smokes. You cook your dinners in a microwave at the end of the hall. You know, you shit, shower, and shave in the same bathroom as like fucking 20 other dudes who are on welfare or addicted to fucking meth, you know?
Right.
So, that's what 7 a.m. hell is kind of like the title is about anyway. And, you know, it's got that sleazy feel of like in a hotel room downtown kind of thing.
So, you know, when did you first get into playing music and, like, you know, playing the guitar?
I think I was probably like 18 when I picked up the guitar. So, I was just a teenager, I guess, but I kind of came late. A lot of my friends were into like rock and roll and stuff since they were 15 and all, but like, you know, I didn't come here till I was 18, and where I lived in Australia, we didn't have much to do. And like, you know, there was one rock and roll band in our town and they were cool. Like, you know, I didn't even think about being in a band then, you know?
Right.
But when I got back here, it's the first time I've been to I had seen a punk rock show, like a local band sweating and playing. And then there was like two or three other bands. And, you know, this is back when people would still like fucking slam and mosh and shit shows.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, I don't mean to sound like pompous and like an old fogey. You know, what people would do, the stage diving shit was like, it was just something that kids made up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like they made it up at shows. It wasn't like a fucking arena rock thing, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of probably a hard thing for some people to imagine, like if they're younger, you know?
So, you know, living life on the road kind of takes its toll, obviously, on a performer. Do you ever stop and wonder, you know, what you're going to do after your music career?
Just sometimes I've thought about it and I think, oh shit, I got to make it right here. Exit 31. Okay, killer. So, I mean, I think, like, you know, what if I was stricken deaf or, like, something like that, then I'd probably have to be a writer. And, you know, I've always thought, like, I could do some kind of preaching. Is that, whatever, like a lesson or something. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I think, you know, it takes its toll, all right, but I'm going to do it until I can't do it anymore, you know?
Right. And I've always said that, you know, it takes a special kind of person. It has to be in your blood to you know, to be able to be traveling all the time, and you know, it definitely is in your blood. Not just anybody can do it.
Yeah, definitely. It's really hard, and I don't even hit it as hard as a lot of guys, and it's hard. And I think for me, you know, I love my missus, and you know, it takes a certain kind of person to be on the road, but it also takes a certain kind of person to be involved with somebody out there doing that.
Right.
And you know, we're both pushed to the limits of, you know, endurance. She's, you know, wanting me home and I'm wanting to be out. And it's like, we want to be with each other. So you got to find ways to make it work.
You got to find a happy medium, right?
It's really hard, you know, yeah. It's really hard because, at either time she'll feel like she's compromising too much. And I might feel the same way about what I'm doing. So it's, you know, it's tough, but we try to get through it. You know?
Awesome. So what has been your greatest achievement in life to this point?
Oh, wow. Shoot. I don't even know. I don't know. Because I don't think I want to know, you know?
Right. Makes complete sense.
I'd rather feel like I didn't achieve the greatest thing in my life or whatever. It's, you know, you always want to be kind of, you know, dissatisfied and
striving for something more.
That's how you kind of stay, you know, I don't know, stay alive.
Right. So outside of music, what is the worst job you've ever had?
Wow. I don't know, because, I mean, I've had a lot of shitty jobs. I'm sure lots of people that can empathize, you know, like cutting grass in a cemetery was pretty shitty, and any number of stupid labor jobs, and, yeah, I don't, you know, I think maybe chopping vegetables under, like, fluorescent light for, like, 8 hours a day with, like, a, you know, half an hour, like, rushed lunch, you know, chain smoking and then back to, like, fluorescent lights, chopping vegetables and cutting my fingers and stuff. That kind of sucked.
Right. Definitely. So what do you have planned for the rest of 2013?
Well, we're going to be hitting the road around here. When I say around here, I mean, like, the East Coast. We'll be up and down. We're really spoiled in Baltimore to be able to just get on 95 and go up and down and hit, like, so many places. You know, bands, like, out west have longer drives and stuff, but, you know, they have really good shows out west, though. But, yeah, we'll be hitting the road around here, and then we're going to be going coast to coast in July, and the anchor date will be pretty much the Farmageddon Festival.
And is, you know, the new album, when it does come out, when do you think it's going to come out?
We're aiming for the end of May.
And is that going to be with Farmageddon?
Yeah, it'll come out sometime around, you know, sometime around the time the Gallows record comes out.
Okay, cool. So the most important thing, you know, where can folks go to find out where you're playing and, you know, get a hold of your albums and your merch?
Facebook. Go to Facebook. I got a music page. I got a personal page. I'll accept friends on my personal page until it fills up, and then it'll just be the music thing. And, you know, failing that, if you don't like, you know, there's people that don't like Facebook, and I admire them. You can go to Reverb Nation and search for me there, reverbnation.com. And,
Sean, it's been a pleasure having you finally on the show. I want to, you know, make sure that folks know to get a hold of this album as soon as it comes out. It's an awesome album.
I'm glad.
You're an awesome dude, man. It was a pleasure meeting you. And like I said, if you have the chance to see Sean K. Preston live, it's definitely the experience that you need to do.
Oh, shucks. Thanks, Blake. And hey, I'll see you in July because we're going to be coming through your way.
Right, definitely. And you're welcome to crash here if you need to.
Oh, that's, yep, it's too late to take it back, man. And that's going to make it to air, right?
Yep, definitely.
All right. And it's good. Word is bond.
Since Robert's next to you, you need to tell him that he owes me some music.
Oh, shit. You owe Blake some music. He's got a new recording in the works, actually.
Right on. All right, well, you guys have a safe trip, and take care of yourselves. Anytime you need anything from us, let us know.
Blake, thanks a million, man.
No problem.
Talk to you later.
Later. All right, man. Well, you know, it was an honor to finally have you on. The dog's going crazy. Hold on a second. Give me a minute.
Shut up.
Hold on. Just let me give me 1 minute. Hold on.
Who's a good boy? Or is it a girl? Is it a girl? I think he said Stella. I hope this ends up on the air. I hope Blake going to kick his dog's ass and me just talking randomly while I'm like trying to drive to a show in D.C. ends up on the air. Ladies and gentlemen.
Scared we might be right.
traffic jam.
Christopher Walken. IBWIP is an interactive show. That means get off your asses and get a hold of us, baby. You can call into the show live or leave us a voicemail. The number is 1-203-429-4711. It's free, so dial it up now, I implore you. You can also email us with questions or comments at blake@ibwip.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to your Pia Vision YouTube page. Well, all the links are on the front page of IBWIP.com.
Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out the ground. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. Said go down yonder, Gabriel, place your foot upon the sea. Don't blow your trumpet, Gabriel, until you hear from me. Oh, look way over Jordan, what do you think I see? Saw a band of holy angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. Gonna hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. I cried, meet me, Jesus, meet me in the middle of the air. Gonna rise to meet my Lord, and I'll say goodbye down here. And one day when they carry me out to that old graveyard, don't cry for me, don't cry, we'll be singing with the Lord. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. Graves gonna hold my body down. Wanna hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down. Ain't no graves gonna hold my body down.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web hosts, you need to check out HostGator.com, you're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.